Our second reading today is from the Psalms. As Tara mentioned, all of them are from the Psalms this summer. It's another summer of the Psalms. This is page 495 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. Psalm 16 on June 16. It's too cute. Couldn't pass it up. So looks like we've got 11 verses, yes. I will read the odd verses and you can read the even verses and we'll go back and forth. So Psalm 16, which the editors of our Pew Bible, the New Revised Standard Version, said that this is a song of trust and security in God. So sounds pretty good. So listen now for a word from God from the Psalms. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. For my body also rests secure. You do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I say a little prayer, I want to... Sermons don't often have a moment of thanks at the beginning, but there's two people I would like to thank. One is not here and one is. Kylie Dratch could not be here this morning. She's off to Iowa, I believe, on a little family trip. But Kylie is one of our youth who was at the Heifer trip. So when we were in the airport in Arkansas there, kind of a delayed start, I was working on today's sermon. And Kylie saw what I was doing, and she said, "That looks like a baseball diamond. What are you doing?" Or it could be softball. And so we started to talk about softball a little bit, and she is one of my my experts for today's sermon and has made a contribution which, if she was here, she would smirk and know exactly where it was. But when she listens, hopefully online, she'll hear and will not be too disappointed, I hope. The other person I really want to thank is Tara. We couldn't do this without her, and we're appreciating her for all her many talents, of which you will see. So, Tara and I are about to have a lot of fun. We invite you to enjoy it with us if you'd like, or just sit very still. This should not take too long. Now you're worried, right? We better pray. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for our families and friends that gather. We thank you for gathering us as family and friends around your word, that is sealed in our hearts through your Spirit. May we recognize that our hearts are joyful and that we do indeed have pleasant places drawn out for us by your loving care. We ask all of it in Christ's name. Amen. So I don't know about you, but the summertime makes me think about baseball. I've been thinking about baseball a lot. I guess that's natural. I mean, they call baseball players sometimes the boys of summer. So I guess that's that. And today is Father's Day, and that kind of reinforces the baseball thoughts for me because my dad loved baseball so much. So as a little gift to the fathers here among us, and a gift to myself, frankly, I want to tell you a little baseball story. It's not about fathers and sons, it's about fathers and brothers. I want to specifically tell you about Father Benedict. Summertime made Father Benedict think about baseball too. He was sitting on the bleachers at his little college's baseball diamond. His black Benedictine robe billowed in the breeze around his rather round body. Father Benedict was the abbot of the monastery and the dean of the little Benedictine college. But those were not titles or accomplishments he was necessarily proud of. Monks and priests are not supposed to be proud anyway. But he was proud, most proud of sitting next to his childhood friend, Father Bernard, who was a Cistercian monk. Bernard, Benny called him, peered over his horn-rimmed glasses. And Benny said, "This is going to be great." Bernie said nothing. He wrung his hands on his black scapular that hung over traditional Cistercian garb. Kind of looks like an apron to us. Benny knew that Bernie would rather pray quietly or even take a nap in the afternoon, considering the morning prayer office begins at 3:15. But Benny continued. "You'll see," he said. "This will be fun. Like when we were kids and played ball at the corner lot. But this is a lot nicer than where we used to play ball." Bernie said nothing. He just peered over his horn-rimmed glasses again. "Fine," Benedict said. "Don't enjoy it. Where's your starting lineup?" And Father Bernard gestured with his long arm and extended two fingers to the rise beyond right field. And in slow motion, the Cistercians approached. At first base, professing permanent vows at age 25, but squarely in his 70s, Brother Aylred. At second base, having transferred from a Cluniac Abbey that closed due to fire, the left-hander, Father Thomas. And on the hot corner, third base, the surprisingly spirited postulate Stephen in his 40s, the one that the others were not sure he was going to make it as a monk, and mostly he was there to carry their bags and stay out of the way. Pitching for the Cistercians, Brother Albrecht. Because Bernard and Benedict grew up together in Chicago, they agreed they would play softball today, and they would use a Chicago mush ball, which is a 16-inch softball, sometimes called a cabbage ball or a blooper ball. "I love how gigantic this ball is," said Benedict. "You know, they should really make softball a professional sport." Bernard looked at him. "It's a game with its own unique charms," Benedict said. "I quite enjoy it." Bernard looked like he hadn't enjoyed anything since the 1960s. And after a moment of silent prayer, amen, the Cistercians took the field. Benedictines up to bat. Father Meinrad, OSB, took a couple practice cuts. His black robe moved with his swing, and he stepped into the batter's box. Meinrad choked up on the bat, his knuckles gleaming white. Albrecht looked from the mound, looking at the catcher, Brother Robert, OSCO. Cistercians are well known for their sign language, so Robert gave the sign for, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen." Put it over the plate, no funny business. Albrecht nodded, and he launched this 16-inch softball into space. It's like putting a small planet into orbit. And it arced, blocked out the sun. Meinrad's knuckles gleamed. He connected. And it was a rising fly ball above second base that just dropped below Father Thomas's head. Thomas took his time retrieving the ball because he was also in his 70s. And Brother Meinrad caught his breath on first base, cracking his knuckles. Next up to bat was Father Daniel Ryan. Father Ryan did a postdoc at Princeton Theological Seminary, focusing on Greek New Testament Bible translation, specifically the inconsistencies between the translations of justice and righteousness in Romans chapter 5. But that's a little inside baseball. We're playing softball. Ryan singled, put Meinrad on second. That's no outs, two Benedictines on. The third batter up for the Benedictines was in a white robe, not black. That was Brother Michel Benoit from Togo. Benoit was attending the college for his theology year before returning to Togo to be ordained and serve the monastery there. He had a bright future when he was actually quite good at football, we would call it soccer, but when it comes to Chicago mushball, well, he grounded down the third base line who was easily fielded by brother apostolate Stephen. Meinrad's out. Stephen makes the throw to first. Double play. Benedict laughed out loud. Ha! This is great. He elbowed Bernie in the ribs. Your team's playing great. Bernie said nothing. You can't tell me you didn't love that. That's good baseball, even if we're playing softball, even if we're playing softball with something the size of a cabbage. Bernie peered over his glasses again. Bern, I think you need to enjoy yourself. Your flight doesn't leave until tomorrow. The consultation's over. We'll take you to the airport early after Mass. Let's make the best of it. Father Bernard pushed his glasses up his stoic face, set his jaw, and looked out over his team. They were having the time of their lives. They were smiling, having a lot of fun on this warm summer day. They're visibly enjoying themselves, something that Cistercians are not supposed to do. They're making sign language out there, signing for good job and who brought the Gatorade, which don't ask me, I don't know what that is in Trappist sign language. They're not letting Father Bernard's dour expression ruin this for them. And it went on like that for 2.5 more innings. During the third inning stretch, because they're not going to play nine because they're all, you know, average age is about 70, heat index about 90. So during the third inning stretch, Father Patrick, a Benedictine monk, gives a short homily on Psalm 16, which is really convenient because that's our text today. He spoke of God's blessings, the blessing of being together, the blessing of cool water on a hot day, the blessing of full bellies, thanks to the staff at the monastery kitchen, and the blessing of good work to do and friends to do it with. O Lord, it is you who are our portion and our cup, he said. Pleasant places are indeed marked out for us. And Father Patrick said that there are no foul balls when it comes to our life in God. And at that, Father Benedict sort of said, But Father Patrick continued, it is as Father Lewis, our Trappist brother, wrote in his journal, my mind is scattered among many things, not because of my work, but because I'm not detached, and I do not attend first of all to God. Good shepherd, you have a wild and crazy sheep in love with thorns and brambles, but please don't get tired of looking for me. I know you won't, for you have found me, and all I have to do is stay found. And Father Bernard nodded, and Benedict elbowed him again. Oh, a Thomas Merton reference you like. You like that. Didn't want to say anything about that great double play, but Merton gets a nod. Shh, hushed Bernard, and he motioned for Benedict to listen with the ear of his heart. And Father Patrick sort of wrapped it up, which I'm ready for him to do. He said, as our own abbot primate, Father Gregory, has written in the prayers, Lord God, my portion and my cup, in you alone lies the fullness of happiness and peace. May my trust in your merciful love grow ever stronger in witnessing the power of your grace at work in the lives of all who call themselves your servants. Amen. Now, I know it's Father's Day, but some of you don't care at all about sports and don't really care about monks playing softball either. So let me just skip ahead to what happened at the end of the game that I do think you might care about. The Trappists were last up, and they were down 3-1, two outs against them, bases fully loaded. I think you know where we're going here. So Aylred, Thomas, and Alberic are on base, beads of sweat glistening on their foreheads, smiles permanently plastered to their faces, and postulate Stephen picked up a bat. He took a couple of practice swings, and he looked good. Maybe too good. And Benedict started to wonder. This guy's good. He made that throw to first effortlessly. This guy might be a natural. What's going on here? Postulate Stephen stepped into the batter's box. And here's the pitch, the 16-inch softball arcing its way, blocking out the sun again. And Postulate Stephen, yes, the same Postulate Stephen, rumored to have been a washout as a monk, Postulate Stephen stuck his tongue out like Michael Jordan, coiled like a spring, like a viper ready to strike, and postulate Stephen, the same one who may or may not have been All-American at Auburn, slammed the ball deep, deep over center field. And friends, it's not that it was going, gone, because it was gone before it ever got there. And the Cistercians on the bench went crazy. They jumped up. They started high-fiving and laughing, things that Cistercians are not supposed to do. And Benedict spun around, and he glared at Bernard, and Bernard had a huge smile on his face. And he said in a contemplative tone, "That's the game, Father. The Trappists beat the Benedictines 5-3. Benedict was shocked.
You sandbagged me. You sandbagged me with that Stephen kid. He's not a washout as a monk. I bet he's fine."
Bernard was all smiles. His tongue seemed quite loose now, and he said, "Pleasant places are marked out for me, Father. A pleasant heritage indeed is mine, as it says in Psalm 16. "Shut up," said Benedict. "My heart rejoices, and my soul is glad." "Shut up. I think you need to try and enjoy yourself, Benny. I mean, after all, there are no foul balls with the Lord." "Shut up." The chapel bells rang just in time in the distance, calling all the monks to Vespers. And Benny and Bernie walked together as they had as children, walked together. Benny was still a little bit mad about the joke. "This is worse than when you put toothpaste on the toilet seat lid on retreat in 11th grade." Bernard said quietly, "I'm starting to see what you mean about the charms of the game. You know, postulate Stephen told me about the same thing last week when we were practicing for this. He said the guys at Auburn always laughed at cabbage ball. Stephen said they call it puffball in Louisiana, where he's from. He's played this all his life." I can't believe you sandbagged me." Well, when they chanted the Psalms later in the Abbey Church at Vespers, the words of Psalm 16 echoed through the Abbey Church. Surprising. "You will show me the path of life, the fullness of joy in your presence. At your right hand, bliss forever." Hey, sing it if you know it. "Glory to the Father and the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and forever. Benedict could not make out Bernard's face from where he stood, but he just knew that his friend was smiling, a smile that would last for years. On this Father's Day and throughout the summer, may your heart celebrate and your soul be glad, and may your smile be bigger than a 16-inch softball. Amen.